Well, as I mentioned before, it's good to be back again. And thank you for your prayers during our trip. It was a real special time for us. See our new grandson, our sixth grandchild, Joshua. He's Joshua David Wallace. He's now about 3.5 months and probably about 12, 13, maybe about 13 pounds. Doing well, a bonny little baby, and it was so good to have our daughter Sarah, she and her family, three girls, they came over from Australia, and then my mum, who's 97, she's in a she's now in a retirement home. She's doing amazingly well for 97. She's her memory is not. Short-term memory is not too good, but she remembers things from the past. She remembered us well, and she's still able to. She walks with a walker, but she's still able to get about, and she's in reasonably good situation. So we're very thankful for that, and we stayed in her home, and our daughter and family stayed in her home, and Jonathan and his family were nearby. It was just a very precious, special time together. First time together, second time together for Christmas in about 12 years. So we enjoyed the nice weather there. Temperatures were in the 80s most days. Of course, it's summer in New Zealand, although we got a bit of rain and wind, but we had some really nice days, which was so good. And then just on Friday, this Friday, we left Auckland, New Zealand, at 2:15 p.m. on Friday, and we travelled 3 hours to Fiji. We waited there for 2 or 3 hours. Then we flew another more than 10 hours to Los Angeles, and we arrived at Los Angeles, I think it was 10:45, also on Friday, 10:45 a.m. on Friday. So we arrived in Los Angeles before we started, after all that flying. And a bit of a shock to the system to have the cold and snow this morning. But anyway, here we are. Now, today is our last Sunday for 2018. It's our last Sunday of this year. And at this time of year, you tend to maybe do two things. On the one hand, you look back over the year. And then, of course, you look forward to the new year and what is to come. And on this last Sunday of this year, I just want us to look back, and to reflect, to remember. And also there's some things we need to, thank God for, many things to thank God for. Some things to forget. The Bible says there's some things which we are to remember. But there's also some things that God wants us to forget. So looking back. In Isaiah 43 and verse 18, and this is a wonderful promise from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 43 and verse 18. And here it tells us, it says, in verse 18, it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." So there are some things the scripture says we're not to remember. We're not to remember. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. The NIV puts that verse. It puts us, do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell on the past. So some things we should not remember, and we are told explicitly that we are to forget. Forget. And here it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Do not dwell on the past. And here the Lord tells the Israelites to forget the former things. And the reason is, we see in verse 19, because he's going to do something new. He's going to do something different. He's going to do something fresh. And it says, behold, I will do a new thing. I will do, future, a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And God does not want us to just live in the past. Now, there can be past blessings, and we thank God for them. We thank God for the good things that he's done in our life. But you know, some people, they're always just talking about the God in the past tense. You know, God of the past, the things that God did in the past, the miracles of the past, the answers to prayer in the past. And, you know, some just dwell all the time on the past, and they do not have a vision for the future to go on and to press in to the things that God has ahead. In the time of Hezekiah, the people were worshipping there the brazen serpent that Moses had made. And when they were children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, in Numbers 21 and verse 8 and 9, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. Now, the reason God spoke to Moses to make the fiery serpent is because basically the people had sinned. They'd murmured, they'd complained against God, they'd murmured, they'd complained against Moses, and they were saying, Moses, you've brought us up, you've brought us out into the wilderness so that we can die in the wilderness. And there's no bread except this manna, which they despised. And because of their rebellion, because of their murmuring, God had sent serpents, fiery serpents amongst them. And they bit the people. And many of the children of Israel, they died. And after many were dying, then they cried out to God. They acknowledged their sin. And they, we have spoken against thee. We've spoken against God. And then the Lord gave them a remedy for their sin. And the remedy was for Moses to make the serpent of brass. And when the people, when they looked at that serpent, he made a serpent of brass. He put it up high, lifted it up, raised it up. And when the people who'd been bitten by the serpents, if they looked at that serpent of brass, you know, they would be healed. And that, you know, 1,500 years before it happened, it is pointing to the Lord Jesus. He was lifted up a cross. He was lifted up upon the cross. And John says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was lifted up on a cross. And the thought of the serpent, Jesus, he became sin. He took on the sin of the world for us. He became sin. And God could not look upon him. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But when Jesus was lifted on the cross, when we look to Jesus, when we turn from our sins and look to him, you know, there is salvation. When we look to him, there is healing. And those Israelites who were bitten and did not look to the serpent that was raised up, the serpent of brass, they died in the wilderness. But those who looked, they were healed. They were saved. They were redeemed. But then later on, as the years went by, we find in 2 Kings in chapter 18 that the people began to worship the serpent that Moses had, that Moses had lifted up in the wilderness. And we see in 2 Kings chapter 18, 2 Kings and chapter 18 and verse 4, it tells us there, he removed the high, this is the godly king Hezekiah. And he started off doing what is pleasing to the Lord, what is right before the Lord. And in verse 4, he removed the high places, he broke the images, he cut down the groves, he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan, Nehushtan. And that serpent, they raised it up as a monument to the past, and they began to worship it. And because of this, Hezekiah had to completely destroy it, destroy it. They were looking to the past. They were looking to what God had done in the past, and they were even began to worship, you know, this the serpent, which had been used in the past to bring healing and bring miracles. You know, their focus had basically turned to, it had become an idol, and they focused into idolatry. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians in chapter 3, and in this wonderful epistle to the Philippians, Paul is writing to the believers there, and he tells them to forget certain things. And he tells them in Philippians 3 that they are to forget those things which are behind, things that are behind, things of the past. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So even Paul, towards the end of his life, he's in an attitude of pressing on to God, pressing on for more of the Lord. He's wanting everything God has for him. And in order to do this, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. But he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So he also speaks about forgetting those things in the past, forgetting those things which are behind. And so he has to do that in order that he's able to press on to the things that God has in store, for him. And in order for Paul to press in, he had to forget certain things. And he had to forget, I mean, he'd murdered Christians, he'd been responsible for their lives, you know, many things had happened. And Paul had, but at the time when Paul writes Philippians, he'd also been used of God in a tremendous way. And he'd seen many thousands come to the Lord. He'd seen churches established. He'd seen miracles happen. He'd seen people healed. He'd seen the power of the Lord. But he says, and in spite of those things, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things that are behind. And then he contrasts it, reaching forward to those things that are ahead, or those things that are before. And earlier in that chapter, in Philippians 3, Paul shares of his accomplishments prior to meeting Christ. And they were for his day and age, they were quite some accomplishments. He's circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He says he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And so he was not only a religious leader, he was like a government leader as well. And so Paul was a respected, you know, government leader. He was a very successful young man before he met the Lord. But he says in that same chapter, verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. All those things, even the accomplishments and the things that he'd achieved, he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, And Paul had accomplishments, but on the other hand, he had also persecuted Christians. He had killed Christians. He tortured Christians. There were many sins of the past. But he knew he must leave behind the former life, the former ambitions, the former dreams, seeking only one thing in life, and that is to win the prize, to win the race, to fulfill the will of God, to meet Christ in a fresh way. And Paul realized, you know, if he would just hold on or hang on to the accomplishments of the past, he would camp, and he would not fulfill what God had in store for him. And so, first, he refuses to let past guilt pull him down. And, you know, sometimes the enemy seeks to get into our lives, you know, through the sins of the past, the sins of the past, the things that we've done, the failures that we've made. And the enemy will bring condemnation. He'll accuse us. You're no good. You're not going to make it. You're not going to fulfill the purposes of God. You can't be used of God. Look what you've done. Look what you've said. And he'll seek to bring condemnation and guilt because of mistakes, our failures, our sins. But praise the Lord, we know for sure that if there's true repentance, we admit that failure, we admit that sin, we're sorry, we're willing by the grace of God to turn from it, to forsake it. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and continues in the believer to continue to cleanse us from every sin. And it's what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And every guilt can be taken away. Every guilt of the past, every sin of the past, and the guilt from it can be washed away, can be taken away through the precious blood of Jesus. Every area of deceit, of envy, of lust, of criticism, of murmuring, of whatever it might be, oh, there is power in the blood of Jesus. And as there is true repentance, you know, God not only forgives sin, God forgets. And by the grace of God, we are to forget it too. That's one of the things. In the past, we are to forget. If we're going back to that all the time, we'll never move on into the purposes of God. God forgives, God forgets. We also must forget by the grace of God. One of the testimonies that Pastor Bailey shared, there was this pastor, and he'd committed a terrible sin. He committed adultery. And, you know, every day, every morning, he'd cry out, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me." 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, six, every single morning, just cry out to God. And, you know, there was tremendous sorrow for what he'd done. "Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." 6 weeks later, he'd cried out that morning to the Lord to forgive him. And the Lord spoke to him in an audible voice. And the audible voice said, "For what? For what?" And he said, "Well, you know, Lord." And he'd heard that audible voice. You know, for what? God had forgiven. And the Lord was speaking to him through that experience. "You know, I have forgiven," the Lord was saying. I have forgotten. I have forgotten. You forget also and move on in God. And maybe as we look back, even this year, 2018, there's been trials, maybe injustices in your life, maybe things that have been done to you. Maybe you've been cheated or deceived or lied about. Maybe things that have happened that have been difficult and hard. You know, ask God for a manasseh, the ability to forget. You know, Joseph, all those injustices that had been done to him, even by his own flesh and blood, and But there was no bitterness in his heart towards his brothers, towards those who had done him wrong, towards Potiphar's wife who'd falsely accused him. He forgave, and he forgot. And he named his first son Manasseh, which means to forget all the toil, all the hardships, all the difficulties that he'd been through, all the injustices that he'd been through. And we can ask, he named that son Manasseh. And then a second son he named Ephraim, which means fruitful, or doubly, twice over, fruitful. And so, you know, by the grace of God, you know, we can, maybe there's a Manasseh. We need to ask God for a Manasseh, for something that's happened through 2018, that, you know, God, by the grace of God, you know, we will forget, we will receive that Manasseh. So, another area is we look back, looking back, and we remember and be warned. There are some things we're to look back, and maybe things even that have happened in 2018, we're to remember them and to be warned. Some things we're told to forget, other things we are told to remember and receive a warning from them. In Luke 17 and verse 32, it says, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? She was hesitant to leave Sodom. And the angel told her, don't look back. If you look back, you'll turn into a pillar of salt. But she did not heed that warning of the angel. She looked back, and judgment came upon her, and she died, and she turned into a pillar of salt, in spite of the warning by the angel not to look back. She loved the world. She was so attached to the pleasures of Sodom, the sins of Sodom, the lifestyle of Sodom. She looked back. And the scripture says, Luke 17, 32, remember Lot's wife. There's a dream of a young girl. And she had this dream, a young girl from Switzerland. And in the dream, she was going up to meet the Lord. And as she was going up to meet the Lord, she saw in the dream many of the saints who had died in their resurrection bodies arising up to meet the Lord in the air. And as she was going up, she looked down. And as she looked back, she saw all his shoes, which she loved. And as she looked back at those shoes, you know, she started, instead of ascending to meet the Lord, then she started descending and going down. And, you know, the dream stopped. And God wants, you know, the desires of this life, the attachments of this life, the love of pleasures, you know, removed from our hearts. You know, Jesus spoke in the parable of the sower, you know, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the love of the pleasures of this life and the pleasures of this world. And they can choke the good seed. They can cause us to be unfruitful for the Lord. And here at the end of this year, let us ask God to purify our hearts from the love of this world, to cleanse us from the love of this world, that we'll be more and more in love with the Lord and his word. We'll delight in his word. We'll love the Lord and the things of God. We're told to remember remember Lot's wife. Also, we're to remember Solomon. Solomon started off, very well, but he did not have a good end. He did not finish well. And by the grace of God, we want to be those who go on for the Lord, who have an ongoing vision, and by God's grace, who will finish well. And we know that Solomon's problem, it was many women. 300 wives, 700 concubines. And those women turned Solomon's heart away from God. They turned Solomon's heart to idolatry. And, you know, David and Bathsheba, they knew. I mean, they had committed immorality themselves. And they knew what the besetting sin would be in Solomon's life, immorality. And in those early chapters of Solomon, several times there's warnings to him to flee immorality. But, you know, sadly, later on in his life, Solomon, he did not hearken. Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, it speaks there, remember. And Moses is saying to the children of Israel, remember how you provoked the Lord, your God, to wrath. And he spoke about the golden calf and their rebellion against the Lord. And they're told to remember that, not to forget it, but to remember it so that they will be warned and so they will not, you know, go in the way of idolatry and rebellion. In Deuteronomy 24:9, it tells us there, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. And we know that Miriam and Aaron, they rose up against Moses and they did not respect his leadership. And we know that Miriam ended up with leprosy. And, you know, God's judgment came down upon her. And it tells us, Deuteronomy 24:9, remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam. Thirdly, we can look back and look back over 2018 and remember with gratefulness, to remember with thankfulness, you know, what God has done. And we see in the book of Deuteronomy, which was spoken by Moses on the plains of Moab to the children of Israel. They'd been 40 years in the wilderness. And after 40 years wandering in the wilderness, then Moses speaks to them again. Moses gives his final words. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy is like the final words of Moses to the children of Israel before he died. And God buried him there in the plains of Moab, overlooking the promised land. Moses, he saw the promised land, but because of his sin, he did not get in. He did not enter. He could not enter. And in the book of Deuteronomy, one of the key words there is remember. And in the book of Deuteronomy, 40 years in the wilderness had come to an end. And Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he's going over what had happened in the past 40 years, and he's telling them to remember certain things. In fact, one of the key words in the book of Deuteronomy is that word remember. And he's looking back over the journey. In the first three chapters, there's a review of the way that they went, the journey that they went since coming to Mount Sinai. And then from chapter 4 to chapter 11, it speaks a review of the Ten Commandments and the laws of God. And God instructs the children of Israel to look back and to remember. And so certain things we are to forget, but certain things we must remember. And we are, as we look back over 2018, to remember God's goodness, remember God's mighty acts, remember the answers to prayer God has given us, remember God's blessings to us, remember God's goodness, God's provision. God has done so much for us and the goodness of God, and we must remember and be a thankful people, be a grateful people. We have been blessed. We've been blessed greatly. Deuteronomy 5:15. Moses reminds them. He says, remember you, thou wast a servant. You were a slave. Before, you were slaves in Egypt. Your fathers were slaves in Egypt. You were in bondage, not just for a little time, but for several hundred years. They were slaves. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. And God says, you know, remember that. Remember. And remember, I have done so much for you in the goodness of God. I have set you free. I have delivered you. I have brought you out of Egypt. I've brought you across the Red Sea. I've delivered you. And oh, there's much that we can be thankful for by the grace of God, to remember the goodness of God, the goodness of God. One time, Dwight Moody, he was walking along, and there was a man came out of a, late at night, he was walking along the street in Chicago, and a man came out of this tavern, this bar, and he was drunk, and he walked along, and then he fell on the ground, he was vomiting, and just lying in his own vomit. And Dwight Moody, the famous evangelist Dwight Moody, walked by, and he saw that man and the condition of that man, and he says, there go I, but for the grace of God. And who knows where we would be, in what condition we'd be in, but for the mercy of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God in our lives. Oh, the goodness of God. He saved us. He's purged us. He's washed us from our sins. He's lifted our feet up out of the miry clay. He's put our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. The grace of God, you know, the undeserved, unmerited favor of God in our lives. And the children of Israel, they'd seen God work. God stretched out his arm in Egypt. There were those 10 plagues, miraculous power of God manifest, which God used to prepare the way to deliver the children of Israel. And then God fed them for 40 years supernaturally with manna that came down from heaven each day, water out of the rock. He led them by the cloud and by the fire. And in Deuteronomy, as they think of what God has done in the past, Moses tells them, remember, 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 be thankful, be grateful. And as we look, you know, at the past, and we look and dwell and think about some of the things that God has done in our lives, you know, we're to remember them. We're to be thankful for the Lord. We're to give thanks, to rejoice. You know, often we can be quick to forget what God has done. And, you know, so often it's so easy to focus on our present problems we may be facing. And we can forget quickly, you know, the wonderful things that God has done. Deuteronomy 7, 18 and 19. Again, it's speaking about remember, remember. Remember Pharaoh. Remember the great victory over the obstacles, over the enemies. And when we remember the victories, the deliverances, the answers to prayer, you know, of what God has done in the past, that should encourage us as we go on, as we look to the future. Remember the way which the Lord thy God has led us. And during that wilderness journey, their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes, imagine that, your shoes lasting for 40 years and not wearing out. And, you know, as we look back, and as, you know, personally, I look back, and my wife and I just look back, and, you know, we just marvel at what God has done. He's been with us. He's protected us. He's guided us. He's led us. He's provided financially. He's done so many miracles. And, you know, we just are so grateful and so thankful to the Lord, you know, for all that he is, for all that he's done. Psalm 103, David there, he's just full of the full of the Lord, and he's bursting with gratefulness to God for all that the Lord is. And Psalm 103, well-known psalm, and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits." Don't forget the benefits of the Lord. In other words, remember, as we look to the past, remember the benefits of the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed as the eagle. His heart, David's heart, is just overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude for everything that the Lord has done for him. Look back. Forget not his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. And there's many benefits. Now, I know maybe some of you are saying, well, yes, this last year there's been trials, there's been difficulties, there's been problems. And we've all faced difficulties and trials. But we are also the goodness of God, and we are to be thankful and grateful, you know, to the Lord for all his goodness, for all his mercies, for all his benefits, for all that the Lord has done. His answered prayer, his miracles, his healing, the opportunities that he's given us to serve him in some capacity. Maybe in worship, maybe in teaching, and Sunday school teaching, and youth group, and kids' church, and opportunities in the kitchen, in many different ways. You know, he's given us opportunities to live for him, to serve him. And that is, it's a wonderful opportunity. And as we continue to serve the Lord, you know, with a grateful heart, you know, there are rewards, not just in this life, but in all eternity. And so, you know, by the grace of God, God wants us to look back. We look back over 2018. And some things we should not remember. We're told to forget. The sins, those failures that have been repented of, we can forget by the grace of God. Don't let the enemy bring condemnation in your life because of that. And then secondly, we're to look back and remember certain things and be warned by them, like Lot's wife, that we don't fall into their mistake. And then thirdly, we're to look back and remember with gratefulness and thankfulness, you know, all the wonderful things the Lord has done in 2018. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you. We're in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you were willing to make that ultimate sacrifice. You died. You shed your blood because of your amazing love for each of us. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you your blood was shed that our sins could be forgiven. And Lord, even as we look back this morning on this last year, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, you've forgiven sins. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. And as Lord, as you've forgotten, may we also forget. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. Your word says, remember certain things. Remember and be warned. And Lord, we pray that we will remember and that by your grace we will heed the warnings. We will not keep falling into sin, but we will know the victory of the Lord. Lord, we will know the overcoming life. We will have victory over the works of the flesh and over sin in our life. We believe you, Lord, that you will bring us to the place even where sin will have no dominion over us. And Father, we're grateful. We remember and we're grateful. We're thankful, Lord, for the many things you have done in each of our lives over this last year. Truly, Lord, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Take us on, Lord, to know you in greater ways. And Lord, even as we, Lord, shortly will move into 2019, Lord, we pray that you would do awesome things. You would give each of us an onward vision. Lord, we know that without a vision, the people perish. And Lord, that you, by your grace, would do new and wonderful things in each of our lives. Lord, we ask it in your precious and your wonderful name. Amen.